at Goodman's Jewelers, a couple blocks from the Capitol on State Street.
It's Wisconsin's most complete farm show. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Well, you are going to want to enjoy the weather today because we do an about face tomorrow. How are you, everybody? Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke helping you rise and shine on what's going to be a pretty decent Wednesday. Few more clouds than I like, but 69 is the expected high. That's not too bad. Looks like we're going to stay dry despite the clouds. Tonight we'll drop down to 42 degrees, and that's kind of the beginning of what you better prepare for tomorrow. I'm already starting to think through where my windshield scratcher is. Tomorrow, we are looking for nothing better than 49 during the day under partly cloudy skies. And then down Thursday night into Friday morning, you can pretty much expect at minimum a frost, most likely a killing freeze for all of southern Wisconsin. So you gardeners kind of bear that in mind. Coming up before 6 o'clock, aside from checking in on weather, we're also going to be talking about a developing story in Greene County. By November, 25 dairies in that area may be looking for a new home for their milk. That's because Maple Leaf Cheese Cooperative and Maple Leaf Cheesemakers have not been able to come to terms on extending their partnership. So that means those dairy farms are going to have to find someplace else to send their milk. We're talking about it with Bob Bade. He's the treasurer of Maple Leaf Cheese Cooperative and a dairy farmer himself on the situation and maybe the positive side of things, how they're viewing going forward. Also up before 6 o'clock. Listen, the harvest numbers are in and we're rolling at a record pace, but that brings with it elements of fatigue. Cheryl Skolas, a University Extension farm safety specialist, our guest as we roll through the hour.
If we all go in on energy efficiency, Wisconsin is in for some big rewards.
Focus on Energy partners with Wisconsin Utilities to offer farmers the tools to grow their farm's energy efficiency and cash incentives to make it happen.
Get started today. Call 888-623-2146 or visit focusonenergy.com/agribusiness to learn more.
That's focusonenergy.com/agribusiness. Focus on Energy, helping farmers grow since 2001.
A history of success means proven performance, but let's call performance what it is. Profitability. And boosting yours, no matter what the season brings, is the goal of DeKalb brand corn. Backed by exclusive genetics, whole farm solutions, and unmatched dealer support, let nothing shake your perseverance. Ask your dealer how DeKalb brand corn can help you realize a future of performance. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Finding out what's going on in all of our agricultural industries is a big job because of Wisconsin's varied agricultural environment. Bob Bosel at the northern end of the world's longest barn, but of course dairy is the key that we hang our hat on. And a new group was formed, Dairy Innovation Hub, Pam, and they got a lot of money. What have they found out? What have they done so far in their short lifespan so far?
Yeah, you're right, Bob. It's just been a year. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke at the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. And the Dairy Innovation Hub is acutely aware of how attitudes may have changed as far as the budget is concerned in light of COVID-19 and the additional expenses that the states incurred. They released their first annual report for consumption by everybody, and that includes the lawmakers down at the state capitol. Remember, the state of Wisconsin came in with $7.8 million a year commitment to their Dairy Innovation Hub. I talked about it with Maria Walt. She is the program manager for the Dairy Innovation Hub, and I asked her to just take me back a little bit. People forget that although the Dairy Innovation Hub's been in place for about a year, there were 4-5 years dedicated before that just to try to advance the idea of investigating new market possibilities for milk we're already producing.
There was a gathering some years ago at Mitch Breinig's farm in Sauk City, Wisconsin, where, you know, a number of people kind of sat down in the dairy farm office and started discussing ways that we could really turn the dairy community around. And, you know, they started making notes on a whiteboard. And a lot of those ideas really intrigued a lot of people. And so they carried them forward to the Dairy Task Force 2.0, which convened a couple of years ago. And, you know, there was numerous recommendations that came out of that task force. And one of the top recommendations brought forward by that group was the formation of a dairy innovation hub.
So we secured the funding from the state legislature. That's great news. Now let's talk a little bit about what's been happening. Maybe a little snapshot, Maria, on what the annual report brings to attention.
Right. So in year one, so there's really a multiple year rollout for the Dairy Innovation Hub. In year one, which would be the fiscal year that just finished this past June, the funding allocation was $1.1 million to be split between three campuses, Madison, River Falls, and Platteville. And the reason for that is because, you know, the first year of the hub was really a partial year because the funding wasn't approved until late 2019. So it was kind of some seed money to get the hub going at the three campuses. And then the idea is in subsequent fiscal years, the full allocation of $7.7 million, you know, split between the three campuses would then kind of fund those ideas that they came up with in year one. So really, year one, at all three campuses was spent doing things that you would imagine with any type of startup business or effort. You know, getting the right people together, having the conversations about, hey, what's really needed to do innovative work in dairy, building some infrastructure, kind of getting things going, and starting projects in a lot of ways. You know, research is a long-term investment. A lot of the projects that are underway right now, you know, they're going to take a little bit of time to start yielding results, and that's what we're hoping happens in subsequent years.
Talk to me about the collaboration that's already been brought together, Maria. Like we said, these ideas have been discussed in dairy circles for more than 4 years. How are we coming together? Is this gelling? Are we getting buy-in from the necessary parties?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a couple sort of formal ways that happens for the hub, and then there's the sort of more informal aspects. I'll start with the formal ways. When the hub was envisioned, the folks that really came up with the concept wanted to make sure that each campus had a voice and that also kind of the pertinent stakeholders had a voice as well. So the Dairy Innovation Hub has a advisory council that kind of creates sort of a two-way communication between the university and stakeholders. So you have people on that council that were really instrumental in advocating for funding, like Dairy Business Association, Professional Dairy Producers of Wisconsin, Farm Bureau, Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association. And then you also have representatives from each of the three campuses, so Madison, Platteville, River Falls. And then, of course, DATCAP is instrumental to all of this as well. So that's a formal mechanism that exists to really ensure that two-way communication between the three campuses, but then also back to the stakeholders, you know, who really serve the farmers and processors and consumers, of the state of Wisconsin. So it's a formal mechanism that exists. Now, because of all of that, really interesting thing is happening where, you know, each of the three campuses has become so much more aware of what one another is doing. Now, to someone outside of a university, you might think, well, gosh, it's obvious that, you know, Madison knows what Platteville is doing. But that's not always the case. And it's not a criticism. It's just that's not always the way that universities work. But that's really changing in the dairy space because of all these projects that are going on, all these meetings, all these conversations. There is so much idea sharing and expertise sharing that is going on because of the hub. And it is so crazy to be involved in this and so exciting for me. I'm also a dairy farmer too. So you're seeing people from completely outside of dairy that are submitting proposals like, hey, I'm an electrical engineer. You know, I don't really have a ton of experience in dairy, but my work, a plot can be applied to dairy. And so you're seeing cool stuff like that happen across all three campuses.
Maria Waltz along with us. She is the Dairy Innovation Hub's program manager. Talk to me about some of the other highline items that are included in this report, Maria. I mean, there's different funding mechanisms that have already been launched. There have been some hard goods that have been purchased to help move this effort forward, too.
Right. So I touched a little bit on, you know, kind of the things that have happened in the first year to kind of get this up and running. So at Madison, for example, you know, a lot of the infrastructure and equipment that's needed to conduct research, you know, already exists because Madison is a research, you know, based campus. But for some of the campuses like River Falls and Platteville, they certainly do research there, but maybe not to the extent that's done at Madison. So that would be an example of, you know, a campus needing to use funds to, you know, invest in lab equipment, things like that, so that they can actually do the research trials that they are, you know, that they've promised that they're going to do. So that's kind of a ramp up thing, an example of a ramp up. You know, the other thing that I want to emphasize is, you know, there's three sort of main ways that the money is being spent. Talent, so professors, graduate students, postdocs, you know, people, basically. Equipment, and then actual research projects. So you need the people to do the research, you need the equipment to process the data, and you need the sort of the research questions, the ideas, to actually make it all happen.
Well, and considering that many, many people rely on dairy, not just for the nutrition it provides them, but for the jobs that they are keeping, you might want to engage in the process as well. Maria Wolt, along with us, she is the Dairy Innovation Hub's program manager. Mark down November 18th as that virtual dairy summit that they'll be hosting. And as important, jump online, dairyinnovationhub.wisc.edu, and you'll find all the details there, as well as our website, MidwestFarmReport.com. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Signs by Tomorrow is your partner in making signs for state law health compliance for being open. What was temporary may be more permanent. Signs by Tomorrow can supply banners reminding social distancing and enhance your brand with a professional look. Floor minders keep the direction and customer flow and can advertise your image. Protection screens and outside stands welcome your customers, giving assurance of health standards. Visit signsbytomorrow.com/Madison. Business just got easier.
As a business owner, you rely on a lot of people to keep things up and running. Hey, you're not the only one who'd like to kick your IT provider to the curb. Compel Consulting has become the most trusted source of computer services, pain-free. Compel works to eliminate the hassles and headaches that technology can bring, helping business owners increase productivity and make more money. Schedule a free technology assessment with Compel today and be more productive tomorrow. Visit CompelNetworks.com. Compel Consulting, professional IT solutions, just like having family in the IT biz.
Confusion ever someone or have sudden you trouble had speaking, understanding?
Understanding trouble? Have you sudden have or speaking someone ever confusion?
Have you ever had sudden confusion, trouble speaking, or understanding someone?
It could be one of the five signs of stroke.
Sudden weakness or numbness of the face, arm, or leg.
Sudden trouble with vision in one or both eyes.
Suddenly having trouble walking or difficulty with balance.
Or a sudden intense headache that comes out of nowhere.
If you or someone you know has any of these symptoms, don't wait. Call 911 immediately. You could make a difference in someone's life, someone you love, maybe even your own.
It's late until, wait, don't too.
Don't wait until it's too late. Time lost is brain lost.
Find out more at powertoendstroke.org. Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
sure she'll stop farming when pigs fly. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You want to talk about fly? I about flew in the air about 10 minutes ago. I have got a four-legged visitor in my office this morning, Stu. And you know, it kind of makes sense. If we've got the weather changes coming up that we were talking about yesterday, drastic shift, colder as far as temperatures, a lot of little four-legged critters are going to start seeking safe shelter. And right now, I'm at a standoff with a vicious four-legged little mouskie that, like I said, there were a lot of words that came out of my mouth just moments ago that Mama Yankee would not have been proud of.
Just like Tourette's, huh?
Oh, man. And I, you know, it was funny. I said to one of my producers here, I said, we were at a standoff. The mouse and I faced off, and both of our hearts were pounding. So he's back under the desk in my office, and we'll see how that goes from here. But, you know, honestly, that is what we should expect at this time of the year. All the critters start noticing that there's definitely a change coming as far as weather, and they just want to get to a safe place.
Oh, yeah, they want to get in. I mean, the mice, the Asian beetles, the wasps, they're all trying to find that place to bed in and get in where it's going to be a little bit better. I think we should be thinking about that, too, at least it's going to feel like it in the next couple of days, because there's all kinds of cooler weather trying to build our way. Low pressure out to the west, out in the Dakotas. There's some scattered, pretty light rain. Northern South Dakota, North Dakota, Minnesota, building into western Wisconsin. Sprinkly showers, you know, late today. At La Crosse, Boston, over toward the Fox Valley North, we could see a tenth of an inch or two into the evening. That's about it. Further south, not much for rainfall, but cool air is going to start to build on in. And as we look toward Thursday, Friday, and the weekend, cooler than normal temperatures, around 10 degrees or more, are to be expected. And with that cool air, there comes that chance of a little rain again a bit later Saturday or Saturday night. Further north, even a few snowflakes may be a possibility. You know the kind. Oh, yeah, that's a raindrop. Oh, that's a snowflake. That's how it may be further north here starting the weekend. I'll check the forecast right after this.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Are you paying too much for health insurance? Rural Mutual Insurance can help you find the best options for individual, group, vision, dental, and Medicare. Call your local Rural Mutual agent to see how you can save.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Copier Financial is proud to support hardworking farmers and their families during this harvest season. As you work relentlessly to feed, clothe, and fuel the world, we want to wish you a safe and bountiful harvest and say thank you for all you do. Give your local Compeer team a call at 844-426-6733 or visit Compeer.com for lending, crop insurance, appraisal, and other financial needs. Compeer Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender.
You know, Stu, I was just pondering to myself that I might want to put a four-letter word moratorium in until closer to deer season or something. That four-letter word that you were talking about, I do not want to hear this early in October.
Oh, it's going to be pretty if we see it. I don't think we will in the south. You know, maybe north, a couple of stray flakes, that's it. Otherwise, let's talk of today. Mostly cloudy, breezy, and, you know, still fairly mild, upper 60s. But there's that chance for a few scattered showers developing this morning. La Crosse, Boston, spreading east into the Fox Valley, even Beaver Dam as we head to the afternoon, maybe this afternoon in Madison. Talk about temps in the upper 60s. South winds increasing 10 to 20, 25. Could be some 45-mile-per-hour gusts today. Mostly cloudy, breezy overnight, down to around 40. West winds 10 to 20, quite a bit gusty overnight. And then mostly sunny on Thursday. Oh, back to the very low 50s. The northwest winds 15 to 30 miles per hour. A little frost is possible early Friday morning. Mostly sunny, still cool, low 50s, maybe an upper 40. With a west wind at 5 to 15, and cooler for the weekend, Pam, you know, mid-50s Saturday, low 50s again by Sunday, just going to feel like autumn.
Holy peapod, I better let that little four-legged rascal hunker in for a little bit. That is a pretty dramatic change from what we're going to have today.
Oh, yeah, real big change here closing out the week that, you know, has to make you think what's coming.
I know. know. I was looking for my windshield scratchy yesterday because you put the fear of God in me about what might be there Thursday morning.
See, I'm doing my job.
All right, man. We'll catch up with you tomorrow and see how cold we are by then, okay?
All right. Have a great day.
Yeah, you betcha. That is Stumacher, ag meteorologist, with a quick check-in on what's happening with weather details. Hey, developing story out of Greene County. 25 dairies may have to look for a new home for their milk. That's coming up.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Here's a pop quiz for corn growers. Of the top three seed corn brands in the Central Corn Belt, only one is 100% focused on seed corn. U.S. farm family owned and got there without the help of a parent company. Any guesses? That's right. Wiffles Hybrids. Officially making them the grown-up in the field. Wiffles Hybrids. One thing done right.
Say, have you heard of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation? Yes, it's a grassroots organization of people just like you that care about keeping agriculture strong. By joining Farm Bureau, you also qualify for a number of money-saving member benefits on equipment, autos, travel, and insurance. Get more details at WFBF.com.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture, Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
Recently, I moved to Wisconsin, and I decided that it was time to change up my insurance. And after a bit of searching, it was pretty obvious that I needed to go with Rural Mutual Insurance. This is Josh Gramlin from the Midwest Farm Report. Not only did I want a great rate and even better coverage, but I wanted a Wisconsin-based insurance company that protects and supports our Wisconsin farmers and agribusiness community. To find out what Rural Mutual can do for you, do what I did and go to ruralmutual.com.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Battles aren't won solely on the field. That's a common misconception. Battles are won within, over enemies of fear, enemies of doubt. In that place where promises are kept. Promises to oneself.
This is a physical training event!
Promises to one's community.
Helping people move debris out of their house.
Promises to one's country. In the heart of every Marine, you'll find a promise. A promise forever kept. A promise of battles won.
Are you ready for the next generation of body sculpting?
A skincare minute with skincare expert Michelle Neeson.
Current body shaping devices have addressed unwanted stubborn fat and skin laxity. But what if we want more muscle strength and toning? M-Sculpt is our new body sculpting device at Rejuvenation Clinic of Sauk Prairie that uses high-intensity electromagnetic contractions with a 30-minute treatment described as equivalent to 20,000 crunches. M-Sculpt is approved for abdomen, arms, thighs, and calves. And it's also the world's first non-invasive butt toning and lifting procedure. M-Sculpt is a safe, effective addition to any workout program. The possibilities are endless.
Let your natural beauty shine through.
View our specials at rejuvenationclinicofsaukprairie.com.
Neon, Dayglow, flashing lights, special effects. Today's world puts our sense of sight on overload. Luckily, there are places we can go to refocus our senses. Our national wildlife refuges. It's a wonder how much you'll see once all the distractions fade away. You may see a lone eagle soaring past massive snow-capped mountains, or a great horned owl perched stoically on a branch nearby. You may see the furry face of a baby sea otter curiously poking its head out of the dark blue sea, or ancient rocks shaped by centuries of wind. When you see these things, you're seeing the world the way we found it. With over 500 refuges across America, You don't have to go far to make a special connection with nature. Learn more at fws.gov/refuges. That's fws.gov/refuges.
Be the light. That's my motto. Hi, I'm Scott, proud employee with EverReady Electric for over 20 years. We want you. Yes, you. We're hiring for journeymen or master electricians. Full-time with a hiring bonus of $1,500. Why? Well, we get that transitioning from one job to another has costs, and we're here to support you in a new comfort zone. Join our team and apply online, or call and ask for Linda. She'll amp you up. We're ever ready.
The date. We already knew the place. That was Camp Randall. October 23rd. It's official. Friday night, under the lights, 7 o'clock kickoff, your Wisconsin Badgers hosting the Fighting Illini of Illinois. Longest time I thought it was the 24th. No.
Hey, we get it a day earlier.
The 23rd. And that's awesome. In 2020, we need the good news. A little extra early, a day early for your Wisconsin Badgers, 7 o'clock. But here's the sad thing about it. One of my favorite things to do when before I watch a Wisconsin sporting event is to get drunk in a parking lot. Can't do that this year. Well, I could, but I can't get drunk in the Red Zone's parking lot.
You can get drunk in your driveway.
Yeah, it's not a parking lot. That's a driveway.
Is there a car parked there?
Sometimes there's two.
Boom, parking lot.
Okay. There's no lines in it, though. Huh. Like, what constitutes a parking lot?
Here you go. Walk on over to Warner Park.
Yep, I'm close-ish to Warner Park.
Then walk on back home. There you go. Yeah, there's a parking lot over there.
And I guess there is a sports stadium. There's the duck
still pie. Still kind of depressing when you got to say, I can do it in my own parking lot in my cold garage by myself.
Yeah. A driveway is not a parking lot to me. Like, you got to have the lines. You got to have cars. Some park too close. Some park like idiots, like over the line. And then
over the line!
In your parking lot at home?
No. I mean, like, my driveway. Well, depends on how my wife parks sometimes, but yeah, sometimes she's over the line.
Mark it down as a zero.
Mark it over the line. Mark it eight, dude.
Calm down, Walter. All right, this is how I know Badger football season is here.
Well, I've appreciated the efforts by everyone.
Right there. All you need. Right there, the opening statement yesterday from Paul Crist.
The efforts by everyone.
You appreciate the effort. That's how you know college football season's here, baby, in the Big Ten. When you got Paul Crist dropping his two go-to words in the same freaking sentence, man.
Well, I've appreciated the efforts by everyone.
Yes!
Woo!
You appreciate the effort by everyone.
You appreciate the effort by everyone and the opportunity you're given to play football this next Friday.
Well, okay, well, it's a longer clip, so let's see if he has the opportunity and the...
Well, I've appreciated the efforts by everyone. As we get closer to the start of the season and
come on,
got to take advantage of kind of this week being the last week before we start next week on
opportunity. Say it.
Full game plan prep.
Say opportunity. Illinois,
but
opportunity.
So appreciate what the group is doing but still got to have a good week this week.
Damn it. There's no opportunity in there.
Got two appreciates, though.
But good news, guys. I got like six more clips from Paul Crist. So we can get some more appreciate efforts and opportunity. There was an advantage in there, which I do appreciate. All right, so one of the guys we were talking about, and I struggle with the name, but I think I got it. Chimre Dike?
Yeah.
The new wide receiver on the scene, the freshman who's turning a couple heads, because he had Danny Davis catching that bomb we were talking about last week from Graham Mertz. But before the bomb to Danny Davis, you had Chimre Dike catching this awesome one-handed grab that also is making its rounds around there. Mm-hmm. Paul Crist is excited about the freshman wide receiver.
When other guys are talking about someone, that's a good sign, right? And I think anytime there's a new face, a newcomer that's producing and doing things, which Chim has been doing and doing consistently, you know, I think that gets guys excited. Certainly as a staff, we are. And, you know, like everyone, there's obviously a number of things to continue to work on, but he's been impressed with him. And I do think he's someone that can contribute this year, absolutely.
All right.
You don't hear him say that too often.
Yeah, he's
talking about young players being able to contribute
right away.
Right away.
That's what I heard. Right away. Is that the most like?
That's good to hear. I'm sorry, when you want to be that top end program, you have to have the young guys who everybody's talking about and are going to be those contributors right away. Just you, and on the opposite side of the ball, look at Nick Herbig.
Oh, yeah, he's turning heads too.
Watch out for this guy. Don't be surprised if he's like a starter by the end of the year. And I mean, you love hearing
that kind of
stuff.
Well, if you want to compete with the Alabamas, the Ohio States, the mm-hmm. Georgias, you're going to have to recruit well, which they've been doing.
Yep.
And those young players are going to have to come in and play well and step up and be people that you depend on, because that's the type of talent that you expect if you are trying to compete with those teams year in and year out.
No doubt.
Right.
And because Alabama, they're bringing in freshmen that are playing. Look at Tua. He came off the bench as a freshman and won a national title.
Hang on to your tractors. Here's another update. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You know, the harvest has actually been moving along that fast. You really do have to hang on to your tractors. But the extended period of beautiful weather we've been able to enjoy for a lot of Wisconsin has also brought with it fatigue that Wisconsin farmers just have to flat out recognize they fall victim to. Cheryl Skolas, University Extension Farm Safety Specialist, is one of our guests to bring that point home coming up in just a little bit. I'm Pam Youngke. Now, from the Landmark Services Cooperative Agri-News Desk, here's what's happening on a Wednesday. Now, this is kind of interesting. Did you know on this day in 1912, Theodore Roosevelt was shot in Milwaukee? He was here stumping as a presidential candidate for the new Independent Progressive Party. A guy that had been stalking him from New York hit him in the chest with a bullet. But Roosevelt refused any medical assistance. He finished delivering his speeches, and they say that speech is what saved him, because it was the speech, it was his spectacles, and other items that he had in his coat pocket that minimized the force of the bullet. The fellow that shot him ended up being incarcerated in the Northern Hospital for the Sane in Oshkosh for the rest of his life. And now you know. Well, I want you to know that there's a developing story in Greene County we're keeping an eye on, where 25 dairies may ultimately end up having to find a new home for their milk. Bob Bade is the treasurer of the Maple Leaf Cheese Cooperative. They have announced that they have been unable to extend their partnership with Maple Leaf Cheesemakers Incorporated. That means 25 dairy farms, as of November 20th, will have to find a new home for their milk. I talked to Bade about it yesterday, who's also a dairy farmer himself, and asked him to explain the situation for me and what the dairy farmers are hoping to do.
We're in talks with a couple different co-ops to see if they can handle some or all of our milk. Maybe we'll have to split it up to different plants. That's pretty much our number one priority right now.
What is it feeling like? What's your sense on success there?
I think we'll be successful. Everyone we've talked to is really positive and is doing what they can. But it's kind of scary. We don't know the price we can negotiate on. So that's what I'm worried about anyways.
Sure. Now, what about going forward from here, Bob? Is the ultimate goal to reestablish cheese production? Or, you know, even if you find a temporary home for that milk, what about the longevity of Maple Leaf Cooperative?
We may not be called Maple Leaf Cooperative anymore, but yeah, the plan is to start production up in that plant as a farmer-owned co-op. We're trying to get a hold of different cheesemakers, judging their interest, seeing what the market is, what kind of cheese to make. I guess it's a kind of a blank slate right now. You know, we could go any direction, but we want to keep the cheese plant going, give farms like me a market, because there's not a whole lot of options, you know, for us.
Well, and Greene County is so known for the world-class cheese that it produces from border to border. May I ask, what was the sticking point at the parting of the ways with the cheesemakers? Was it facilities? Was it money? Was it philosophical differences on direction of business? What really was it?
It came down to money, you know, how much of the value of the cheese gets passed on to the farmer, and how much the cheesemaker gets to retain. I mean, pretty much the cheesemakers, they end up buying all of our cheese. They're our only customer, so it comes down to how much we get paid for the cheese from them. Mm-hmm. So, and I think they wanted more control, or they want more control of a plant. So, and the farmers didn't want to give up 100% of the control, you know.
Bob Bade, one of the impacted dairy producers for the Maple Leaf Cheese Cooperative in Monroe, parting company with their long-term partners, the Maple Leaf Cheesemakers Incorporated. Now, I've got a statement up from the Maple Leaf Cheesemakers Incorporated group explaining their position and how sad they are that it's come to this. But the bottom line is, by November 20th, 25 dairy farms in Greene County are going to have to find a new home for their milk, at least temporarily. Like Bob Bade said, they hope to continue to move forward manufacturing their own cheese in their own facility once they find a cheesemaker. Developing story, and one that I'll keep you apprised of. Well, let's talk a little bit about what's going on today. Aside from enjoying this weather, maybe you'll enjoy a little online shopping. Oh, there's a bunch of nonprofits that would love for you to do that, because today is another one of Amazon Prime's Smile Days, where they contribute 5% of qualified sales back to charitable organizations. John Romiak, Wisconsin FFA Foundation Executive Director, is one of those that hopes you will do some online shopping and keep them in mind as a place where you can donate through those sales.
We've been participating in the program for several years now, and have had about 100 participants regularly shopping on Smile on Amazon and contributing to the foundation. So we've been doing it, but we'd like to, of course, see it grow and know that this is a time of the year when, and a particular year where people are shopping online more and more. So I think it's a great opportunity for us to grow that support on through this program too.
John Romiak, Executive Director of the Wisconsin FFA Foundation. Now, obviously, there's a lot of nonprofits that can benefit by you shopping on the Amazon Smile website and donating up to 5% of your qualified purchases back to those nonprofits. But the Amazon Smile emphasis ends today. Well, let's talk a little bit about what's going on with the markets. We mentioned that the harvest is just at a breakneck speed around the state, which is wonderful, so long as we're careful, and we're talking more about that with Cheryl Skolas in a minute. So as of Sunday, according to the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service, 15% of our corn has already been harvested for grain. 96% of the corn is chopped for silage, and that's 3 weeks ahead of average. 46% of our soybeans are already combined off, and that's a week ahead of average. Potatoes, 90% of that crop has been harvested, 93% of our hay already put up, and 21% of our fall tillage has been completed. Yesterday in Chicago, barrel cheese gained 3 cents at 214. 40-pound block cheese up another 2.5 at 271.75. 40-pound block cheese was up 6 at 147.5 per pound. We're a little mixed in overnight activity. Right now, December corn is down a quarter of a cent at 391. November beans up a nickel at 1049. July wheat, that's down about a penny at 592 in overnight activity. Our November milk is down 14 cents at 2050 a hundredweight. December milk unchanged at 1819 a hundredweight. Fatigue. It is inevitable when you've got a very short period of time to try to get a whole lot of field work done, including the harvest. We're talking about fatigue, how you need to take care of yourself, not just yourself, but also your employees in light of COVID-19 and the changing weather conditions. Cheryl Skolas, University Extension Farm Safety Specialist, our guest.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
There's a feeling you get when you know the alfalfa seed you just planted has a 10.4% average yield advantage. It's the same feeling you get when you know the silage corn you just planted was designed exclusively for silage, with a focus on increased tonnage, improved digestibility, and more milk per acre on your bottom line. Around here, we call that feeling Dairyland Seed Pride, and it comes with having access to a full line of forages from an American-based business. Forages that lead the field in delivering yield, quality, and dairy success. Like HybriForce 4400, the latest in a long-standing dynasty of alfalfas that's been outperforming the competition for generations. And our Hi-DF silage hybrids, designed to deliver the right combination of tonnage and quality so you know your cows are getting what they need to keep producing. But no matter which Dairyland seed forage you choose to plant, you can be sure that you'll be proud you did. Are you Dairyland seed proud? Learn more about top-performing Dairyland seed forages at DairylandSeed.com.
In Disney's The Lion King and in our world, fatherhood plays an important role. Take time to be a dad today. Visit fatherhood.gov to learn more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few, the proud, the Marines.
I-39 Supply. Over 200 trailers in stock for work or play and complete trailer service to minimize downtime, plus a huge inventory of trailer parts. I-39 Supply. Trailer service and more. I-39Supply.com.
You can hear her clearly, even in a barn full of cows. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You know, we were just talking about the aggressive rate that our Wisconsin farmers are harvesting this year. Thanks in large part to the weather, the fact that the crop is doing pretty well standing. So far, so good, especially compared to last year, the past couple of years. But you know what? With that opportunity comes increased risk for accidents on the farm, fatigue, getting sick, not just you getting sick, but your employees getting sick. And unfortunately, over the past couple of weeks, it has broken my heart to have to report on farm accidents that resulted in farm deaths. That is not anything we really want to ever have to talk about. What we are, Cheryl Skolas is University Extension Farm Safety Specialist. And it sounds like I'm a broken record, Cheryl, but remind us again why it's so critical to focus on safety at this time of the year.
Yeah, you know, you would think with all the beautiful weather and all the crops that we've seen roll in that, you know, it would be making for that just perfect fall. But on the safety side of things, we've also seen those incidents that have led to fatalities and injuries. And so, you know, it's really important as we keep rolling along here that we keep those safety messages in our mind and taking those breaks when we're under that stress.
You know, the other thing is, it is about farmers and good safety practices. It is continued conversation with people that are sharing the roads with us. And, you know, I mean, there's probably less traffic out there now in light of COVID and adjusted work schedules, Cheryl. But boy, there's still plenty of distractions that seem to be getting in people's way.
There are plenty of distractions out there and plenty of drivers, you know, speeding along on those roads. I brought our little Kubota tractor from the farm up to my place the other day, and in a no-passing zone, I was passed by four vehicles. And, you know, so we need everybody to be slowing down, watching for those lights, give an extra break. Don't try to pass, even if you think you have that space, you can go over in the shoulder. You're putting yourself at risk if that shoulder edge is soft or in some places those road edges are breaking up, that you could be that overturned person out there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have to share these roads. And, you know, farmers, we need you keeping your lights, your markings on and going. But just take a few extra seconds and we'll all get there.
Have you been seeing any, I won't say new technology, Cheryl, or any systems? I've seen a lot of really good lighting systems that are up on grain carts or up on combines or some of our trailing equipment. Are you seeing anything that's kind of caught your attention that's kind of cool that those safety conscious farmers might want to think about either using as a model or investing in themselves?
You know, the other night I was out in the yard and watched a unit move. It was a combine, the pickup truck with a bean bar, and then the tractor with the grain cart. And, you know, during that dusk point of time, that strobe light on that combine and that tractor really made a huge impact, you know, when you looked at it going down the distance. Also, I think, you know, look to upgrade the size on some of those reflectors and flashers for some of your equipment that might not have the newest technology on it, and just, you know, getting some of the brighter intensity lighting that's coming in out on the market. It does really make a difference.
Yeah, exactly. Now, on the flip side of that, we talk about those distracted drivers. You want to give us a quick rundown again, Cheryl? I mean, there are the cops can stop you just like they can stop anybody if you decide that you want to take chances around that farm equipment.
Right. So, you know, you have to remember that, you know, it's illegal. You cannot pass farm equipment in a no-passing zone. As a driver, you have that obligation to make sure that you can pass safely. So, you know, if you don't know that width of that equipment and you take that added risk to get around it, you can still, you know, find yourself at fault in those situations.
Weather is changing, so the acceleration of the harvest is going to be notable when it comes to our farmers and the stress. You mentioned about the fatigue factor that we are in denial about. We got to keep going. We'll just, you know, grab a sandwich or whatever. Speak to me a little bit about how quickly our skills can be diminished with fatigue.
You know, with fatigue, you get up feeling tired, you go to bed feeling tired, those hours of darkness set in, they just kind of wear on you, that cold wears you down more. You know, when something goes wrong, you know, you're just tired out there all the time. And we know, you know, that stress, that fatigue, you know, makes you at a greater risk for, you know, having that accident happen. So, you know, it's the basics of, you know, get good eat nutritionally, take those breaks, drink that water so you stay hydrated, you know, call it a day when it's time to call it a day. And, you know, when you're thinking, oh, I'm just going to take this shortcut, don't take the shortcut, because usually in the end, that's when something happens. So fatigue is a really important factor. Find those ways, you know, reach out to people and have conversations, or call that buddy that you know is going to make you laugh to give yourself those breaks too.
Cheryl Skolas along with us, University Extension Farm Safety Specialist. The weather is starting to change in Wisconsin, Cheryl, and that automatically makes me think about human health, not just the farmer operator, but those employees that they're working with in close proximity day to day. We're into this COVID thing quite a little bit. We got through spring planting with COVID. Now we're in the fall harvest. Can you help me with a few protocols that we might want to start putting in place, if not already, as the weather starts to change and we're going from a warm to a cold, which is just the opposite of what we dealt with this spring?
You know, and I think when we also are factoring in, when's the flu season going to hit, or those head colds, because we're out there, it's colder, it's damper. You know, talking with your employees about remembering to dress in layers. So if we go from, you know, colder temps to warmer temps, that we can help our body adjust to those temperatures we're working in. Remembering that if we're going to be working in heavier, more layered clothing around machinery, you know, are there strings or loose clothing that we need to be aware of when we're working with those PTOs or any moving parts? You know, during the COVID, you know, it's still going to be important to follow all the social distancing, the wiping off equipment. So if I'm driving that skid steer now and a couple hours later somebody else is coming in, taking and sanitizing out that machine when somebody's done operating it, just reducing that potential for that COVID, the coronavirus to be in there and to spread. Being aware of your own health, you know, follow those practices of, if I have that sore throat, I might be a head cold, but we don't know. So calling into your employer and just saying, I'm not feeling well, and then monitoring from there.
Cheryl Skolas, our University Extension Farm Safety Specialist. Like I said, I know I sound like a broken record, but when you take a look at the people we've lost because of farm accidents this year, the message obviously needs to be repeated again. So if you're tired, take a break. Remember that the weather is changing. The conditions you're working in are changing, especially daylight length. And as always, we encourage our friends and fellow neighbors that are using those roadways with that large farm equipment, be respectful, obey the law, and by all means, just be careful for your own safety. We'll have this story up on our website a little bit later this morning if you'd like to listen to more comments from Cheryl Skolas. And she's also reminding everybody, farmer or not, get your flu shot, take care of yourself, continue to social distance even on the farm, and protect your employees